Hey, and we are back on the Cannabis Corner. My name is Lucas Barfield. I am a local Tacoma cannabis activist, researcher, and writer. And I am joined by an Oregon cannabis activist and veteran, Uncle Dig. How are you doing today, Uncle Dig?
I'm doing fine.
All right. So, yeah, it's pretty good days lately here up here in Washington, too. I'm doing fine. I can kind of tell, Dig, you're kind of doing fine, but the winter's kind of wearing on you a little bit, huh?
I am ready for spring, and we're not even in full swing of winter yet.
Yeah, I know. It's this time of year. Things kind of drag on, but we're going to be in spring before we know it, and we're going to be having some great Dig garden updates I'm looking forward to of some really great cannabis coming up. And speaking of really great cannabis, Dig, I wanted to tell you and share with the audience, I've been doing this Washington State Craft Cannabis Cup, and I've actually been a judge in it. It's about all I can comment on it as far as I can't really comment on any specific samples or anything, but I just wanted to mention that there's some really good cannabis out there in Washington State. I know a lot of times on this show that we are kind of down on the state system, and there are a lot of problems out there, but Washington State really has some great cannabis, and it just is so nice to consume some really good cannabis flower. I mean, they have stuff out there, Dig, that tastes like candy. And it's just amazing what this plant can do. What kind of good cannabis do you guys have down there in Oregon right now?
I recently kind of picked up an old favorite, Kosher Kush, from a dispensary near my house. And I was really happy with it. I know recently I've been kind of down on what I've been buying in the dispensary when I do go. But this time it was really nice. It was actually a little bit, it tasted clean like my home grow does. And it was just a really, really good example of Kosher Kush, which is a pretty hard hitting indica that has like a really nice, like sweet piney profile. It's very nice, very cushy. I like it.
All right, that's great to hear, and we're going to move right into our news. I just wanted to bring to the attention of the audience a couple bills that are going to be happening here in Washington State that might affect some people listening to the show and that you might want to chime in on with your legislators. And the first one is the homegrown bill. And if you go back down in our archives, we have a great interview with Washington Homegrow Representative John Kingsbury, and he talks about homegrows. And it's pretty much the same bill, except this year it's titled HB 1019, and it's going to let people grow 6 plants at home. It's called the Cannabis Home Cultivation Act, and it really would be great to have home grows in Washington here, Dig.
I would love that so much. I would love to start seeing my Washington friends start growing big, beautiful outdoor gardens or little indoor gardens, whatever their preference is. It would be really good. And I know that some people are concerned that if home grow gets going in Washington, then it's going to negatively affect the cannabis market. I don't think that's going to be true. I think people will still buy almost as much cannabis. And if they don't, Washington will still be able to tax the other products they buy. Like gardening equipment, you know, dirt is dirt. And if, you know, the gardening store sells 5 things of dirt instead of 1 thing of dirt because people are growing cannabis in it now, that's still state taxes, that's still revenue, that's still jobs. So a burgeoning cannabis home grow industry, especially during these lockdowns, would be a good thing for Washington.
Yeah, I think so. And just to comment real quick on people still buying from the stores, I mean, I just mentioned they have cannabis out there. I've tried it, tastes like candy. I mean, it is so hard to do that at home that it is virtually impossible. And people will still be going to the stores because a lot of people are going to be growing cannabis at home going, this didn't really quite turn out the best I wanted it to. And they want to go to the store to get the better stuff, or they want to go to the store and try new things. Just like the beer industry and the home brews, it really opened it up. People doing home brews because they tried different things at home. And then they said, oh, let's go try this in the store. So it's really good. And the same thing with the home brews and the tax base, like you were just mentioning. It costs a lot of money and a lot of equipment to grow cannabis at home. So you have to buy all that stuff, and that's all taxes too. So home grows could be nothing but good for Washington State. So that is HB 1019, sponsored by Democrat Kloba and Representative McEwen. So be sure to chime in on that with your legislators. it might get passed, Dig. I think it might.
I would love to see that. I would love to have one less reason to be mad at Washington State and their cannabis rollout. I really would.
And speaking of being mad at Washington State and their cannabis rollout, the next one, as a medical cannabis patient, I would say is almost just as big a deal as that first one there. And here again, Washington State, just like the home grows. So only two states don't have home grows out there with adult use. That's Illinois and Washington State. Well, in this next case, Washington State is literally the only state in the United States that has a cannabis excise tax or a medical cannabis excise tax, and that is 37%. There is a bill introduced by Karen Kaiser, Senator Karen Kaiser, SB 5004, that will remove that 37% excise tax for medical cannabis patients, and it will help people out there with disabilities be able to afford their medicine a little better.
You know, every time I hear that 37% number, like, my whole body tenses up. Like, it's such a ridiculously high number as it is. And to think that your state's foisting that on patients who have already paid the state for a card is unconscionable. And I really hope they do the right thing here and rescind that tax, but I don't know if they will.
Yeah, it is a kind of a tight budget year, but they just might. SB 5004 tells me that's the fourth bill that was introduced into the Senate. So that tells me that they're kind of moving fast on this. And this bill was introduced before in 2019, but last year, because of COVID, it didn't get a hearing. But they're moving forward on it, and they might going to fix that.
What did you tell me the other day about the financial impact statement? You said that because of how poor, like, it was something minuscule, like $45,000 the state's projected to lose from this in a yearly budget annual?
Yes, because this is only going to pertain to registered cannabis patients. And there's two types of patients in the state of Washington. One is authorized, one is registered. I don't want to get into all of those differences. But this will only apply to registered. And there are so few registered medical cannabis state patients in the state, Dig, that it's only a $45,000 impact to the state budget. I mean, that is very low numbers. And that can kind of transition us into our next story, which is out of Texas. Texas has a very restrictive medical cannabis system. And I was reading an article there about their system that they only have 3,251 patients registered in their medical cannabis system, Dig. And I would say it would be kind of close to what's registered here in Washington State. So what is going on down there in Texas? You're from Texas.
Well, yeah, yes, I am from Texas. Like many people from Texas, I don't live in Texas anymore. I will say that a lot of people, and it says so in this article, for example, Jax Finkel, the executive director for Texas Normal, said the reason that Texas is often not considered a true medical marijuana state or cannabis state, I don't consider it a medical cannabis state either, because it caps medical cannabis at 0.5% THC. Again, that's not 5%. That's 0.5%, a half percent THC, and over-the-counter hemp products are capped at 0.3%. So they don't really allow even low THC cannabis. They really try to keep THC out of their medical cannabis supply, and they're limiting patients' access to medical. One other thing I'd like to bring up about Texas and its barely there medical marijuana program is that they do not include PTSD and chronic pain as conditions that would qualify for that, leaving a lot of veterans in Texas out high and dry with no access to legal medicine. And I don't know if you know this, but Texas has the second largest veteran population in the country, at least they did in 2017.
And that is really a shame that they don't have a regulated full plant medical cannabis system for veterans down there with PTSD. And even if you did have PTSD, that 0.5% THC is not going to do a lot of good for PTSD, although the CBD with the THC would do some. But the good thing about THC is with PTSD is that it helps with some of those issues when it comes to treating PTSD, like the anxiety, the depression. One of the good things about THC that people might want to say is a bad thing is like the memory loss and the things that might happen, or you know, people say when you're on THC that you're stoned or that you have trouble understanding things or things like that. But with things like PTSD, it really helps calm people down. It really helps people maybe, you know, there are some things that you might want to forget. So using cannabis might help you kind of get out of some of the depressive thoughts that veterans have. And as we know, Dig, and this is a well-publicized number. There's over 20 veterans commit suicide every day in the United States. And cannabis has been shown to help with that number. And Texas is just saying, nope, we don't even care.
You know, I'm really glad you brought that up. And cannabis can be a solve on PTSD symptoms. And it can help bring you down a notch so you're not so hostile, you're not so hypervigilant. And I've personally experienced this. And I know other veterans who I've served with have experienced this. It's very important that we give everyone who needs it access to medical cannabis. And as the country legalizes, it's becoming more and more transparently, obviously so, that cannabis is good and safe medicine for these conditions.
Yeah, so let's help Texas reform their system a little bit. They need to open up that THC limit. As we've talked about many times, it's really arbitrary trying to get a plant to produce 0.5% THC every single time you grow it. That's really, really hard to do. And it's causing problems for patients down there in Texas, clearly.
So, well, it limits access to the plant because only large breeders can do large enough runs to get those low numbers. So you're cutting out mom and pop seed companies. You're cutting out mom and pop producers, and you're making it tailor suited to large ag as opposed to small operations. It's very counterintuitive.
So the next thing we're going to move on to, and this is something a little different than we do usually on our news segment, although we have touched some topical issues in this part of the show, but we're going to talk about cannabis use in ancient Egypt. And as we've talked about before on the show, cannabis is a plant that started on the steppes of Eurasia, and they have samples that go back thousands of years in China, and they traced DNA from cannabis 28 million years, I believe it was, on the steppes of Tibet. So this plant started there evolving, but then, of course, has moved all around the world. And one of the first places it made it to was ancient Egypt. And there's all kind of uses they have found for it. And I've found it fascinating, Dig, that they found some mummies with cannabis pollen like on the mummies. And then when they tested the tissues, they found cannabis in the mummy tissues.
Yes, it's very interesting. Also in those mummies, they found trace elements of nicotine and cocaine, which they didn't think were largely consumed in that area of the world until they found those in that mummy. So a lot of these ways of studying these old cadavers are able to tell us things about the ancient world that we previously didn't know. And it looks like Egypt may have had a very healthy medical understanding of the cannabis plant, and they may have used it in everything from gynecological pain management and even spiritual practices. So it looks like they had many varied uses of the cannabis plant in ancient Egypt. And if anyone wants to check out this article, it comes to us from out of the UK. It's on canx.co.uk, and it's a really interesting article. And there's some stuff in there that we didn't get into.
Yeah, and as a blind person, there was one on there I really thought was interesting. They would mix cannabis with celery and put it on your eyes to treat glaucoma. And I'm really glad you brought up the part about nicotine and cocaine, and that is something I've been kind of harping on recently, and I'm going to repeat it here, is that all these plants are indigenous people's plants. Even cocaine, heroin, all these substances that the United States is throwing people in prison for and locking people up and kicking in people's doors and all this stuff, we see here that a mummy had cocaine in his system. If that Egyptian would have been in the United States, today and was found with cocaine in their person or on them, they're going to prison. So it is amazing to me that we have these laws here in the United States and that we are so restrictive. And it's very, it's actually only in recent history that this is actually the case, Dig.
Yeah, it would seem, the more we learn about history and the more evidence of cannabis use we uncover, it would seem that recent humans have more forgotten our relationship with cannabis than discovered one.
And speaking of new relationships with cannabis, this next story has to be one of my favorite this week. And it is out of New Mexico. And in New Mexico, a man was on house arrest and he sued and he said that he couldn't use, they were restricting him from using medical cannabis on house arrest. Well, a judge has said that the man could actually use cannabis on house arrest. And then he even went further and he said that people in the detention center could use medical cannabis. Now, they have not figured out how people would use the cannabis in the detention center, but it is fascinating how quickly some of these things are moving with this plant. Prisoners able to use medical cannabis, Dig.
Oh, I love it. I would love to see prison co-ops growing their own medical supply for themselves. I would love to see that. Maybe they can pay them more than 50 cents an hour to do it too.
Yeah, and then let them all go when they have a successful crop, I say. So we're going to move on to Dig's garden update.
Uncle Dig's garden update.
Hey guys, this is Uncle Dig with a garden update. We are in week 4 to 5 of flower on the indoor Jaeger bag seed plant. I have been fertilizing lightly with bottle nutrients. I then end up having to top this plant as it grew into the light and burned the top cola. I would be more upset, but I kind of worried it would do that. I cut that off, and now the plant isn't stretching as much and the buds are getting bulky. I recommend skipping the whole Christmas tree experiment, at least indoors. You may think you have room, but you probably don't. My Black Domina seedling sprouted in my germination station, which, as you know, is an old aero garden that has been lightly modified. It got too big for that enclosure, and I needed to find somewhere else to put it. I bought a light, a Spider Farmer SF-1000, and hung it inside an old parrot cage my wife and I have. Rest in peace, Lucky. I had heard that this light put off heat and that might keep a grow area warm in my cold garage in winter. Black Domina is adjusting to her new home well. I hope to take clones from this plant soon. She is in a 1 gallon, but soon she will go into her 3 gallon Smart Pot Forever home. I have also successfully mixed my chicken bedding into my old soil and that has started cooking nicely. I will add leaf litter next. Looking forward to see how it turns out in my stinky burrito. Composting this over the winter should lessen the chance that the chicken manure will burn my future plants. Well, that's it for my garden update. Let's overgrow the world.
All right, Dig. Great garden update there. I wanted to comment on you doing the Christmas tree method and having to top your plant because it got up too tall. And that is actually one reason that I have strayed away from the Christmas tree method in the times when I'm growing indoors is because that plant, somebody told me the plant grows 2/3 when it's in the flower. So it might look small, but when you put it in that flower for 2 months under those big lights, they stretch and they can get up in the light. And I guess you found that out with your plant there in your lights, but you told me it actually came out okay.
Well, yeah, of course I lost that top cola, but it was early enough in flower that I just cut it off. And the next two colas down just started bulking up. And of course, once I topped it, all the colas started growing bigger instead of the top one. Now, I'm having to move the plant beside the light instead of directly under it because it's still got a little taller, but it's not in any danger of getting burned now. The leaves up top are a little bit heat stressed, so I've been experimenting with moving the light to one side of the tent, having the plant on the other, but the rest of the plant looks great. We're coming up on mid to late flower here soon. I'm really excited.
Awesome. And I was wanting to comment on your parrot too. Rest in peace for your parrot. But it's neat how you also, kind of like your aqua cloner that you used and you modified. You taken this bird cage and modified it as like a place to keep your plant, cannabis plant warm. Because I was a little worried when you first told me you were going to move your cannabis plants out to your shed. I was a little worried that it might be a little too cold, but it sounds like you've solved that problem with your light and keeping things warm out there with the cage.
Yeah, yeah. And there's going to be some challenges when I want to start trying to flower because I'm going to have to turn the light off. So I think what I may do is I may jury rig like a timer setup. So the one timer turns the light off, and then like an hour before the light turns off, maybe another timer turns a space heater on that's just going to be on for those 6 hours of darkness or 12 hours of darkness or whatever I decide to go with a dark period. So that way the ambient temperature stays warm while those lights aren't on. And then as soon as the space heater clicks on, the lights will come on to kind of keep the tents warm.
Yeah, and you can get timers and things like that. I would caution you on putting the heater on a timer, so just watch out for that. But you can buy a little small heaters like they're called boat heaters. So they have things called boat heaters, and they have other things that you can use that kind of like it's like a big heating rock, kind of like for an aquarium. It's like a larger version of that. And so they put out a little bit of heat, and you should be able to keep it at a decent, you know, I would say if you can keep your plant overnight in the 60s and even the upper 50s, you'll be okay. That, don't you think so? Because you've been growing outside for a while. As long as you keep your humidity down, you should be fine.
Yeah, I will say they seem to be I haven't had too many problems outside, but it always seems to hit those temperatures gradually. So the only thing I would worry about indoors is if we had a cold spike that the plant didn't really acclimate to. Because you get those cold temperatures early on in the plant's development sometimes, but most of the time you're looking at really cold temperatures when you're looking at a plant in flower that's fully developed and big and a little bit more robust. A lot of times if you have seedlings out during a spring frost, it can damage them, cause them to damp off and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So you got to be real careful there on the indoors, especially with the, and if you're lowering your temperature like that, you need to make sure you have your fan going. But it's not going to be ideal, and they're not going to like it. But you're not going to kill the plant off with those lower temperatures, I don't think. But you know, they're not. It's not going to be their favorite time of the year. But spring will be coming up pretty quick.
Oh yeah, and then I'll be fighting the heat.
All right, so now we're going to get into our It's a Bus segment, and this one is going to be a real quick one, and we just wanted to point out in the world that all this is still going on, the war on drugs. In India, and this has made international news, so it's a pretty big deal, a man was arrested with 1.1 kilos of cannabis. Now, that's about 2.5 pounds, about 2.5 pounds, and that's a fair amount of cannabis he was arrested with. And you were telling me, as somebody who has spent a little time in that part of the world, it's just kind of shocking that there's still, in a part of the world where there's so much cannabis, that they're still arresting people.
Yeah, I wonder if this person, you know, I don't know the full story that this article we found. It didn't have much other than, you know, the how much cannabis he had and like where he was arrested. So it didn't have a lot of information. But it kind of surprised me that they arrested someone in India. I know that India's kind of got this mixed weird relationship with cannabis, but Pakistan and Afghanistan seem to have pretty, you know, a wide open cultivation of the plant, at least in the tribal areas. So it kind of surprised me that that anyone would get in trouble for it there. But I guess, you know, even if they tolerate it in small amounts, you know, maybe they don't want it in large amounts. I don't know. It's weird to me.
All right, so we are going to get out of here, and I want to remind the audience, please be sending in your first time getting high stories. If we get 5, Dig will read his, tell his first time getting high story on the air. In 10, I will tell my first time getting high story on the air. So how can people send in their first time getting high stories to you, Dig, and how can they follow you on your Instagram feed?
Yeah, they can send me an email at UncleDig4@gmail.com. And you can contact me directly on Instagram at UncleDig. Thank you.
Cannabis Corner, hosted by Lucas Barfield. If you would like to get in contact with your host, he is on Twitter at MJIsMedicine. Your musical selection is The Happy Monster by Chubby Jackson and his orchestra, recorded on 78 in 1947. You can find this music and much more at The Great 78 Project, an archive of historical music recordings at great78.archive.org. You are listening to 101.9 KTAH Radio Tacoma.